So welcome back to a new episode. I know today is Tuesday. There's some things yesterday that didn't allow me to get the podcast out in time, which I apologize for, but it should be smooth sailing from here. So I'm glad you guys are back. The podcast is picking up a little bit and you guys seem to be enjoying it. So I do apologize for the kind of ambiguous nature of the podcast right now. It's kind of just, I'm kind of making it up as I go in terms of how I want to structure it, but that's just the nature of a new show. So just bear with me on that. But yeah, nonetheless, let's get into these stories. So the first one is something that should have happened a long time ago, but at least it's finally happening now. So Facebook has officially banned Holocaust denial groups and posts from all of Facebook. So they've now put it in their hate speech policy that any Holocaust denial posts or information, or misinformation rather, will be removed and is not allowed. This underlies a big issue within social media platforms right now. And if you haven't already, I really suggest you watch The Great Hack and The Social Dilemma, both of which are on Netflix. And if you get the chance, read The Age of Surveillance Capitalism. It's a fantastic book. But nonetheless, one of the big problems we're facing right now within social media, especially Facebook and Twitter, even now TikTok and basically all the social media platforms, is the horrible algorithms that promote misinformation. And the problem, which is outlined by these documentaries and by the book I mentioned, is when you go on Facebook or you go on Twitter, you're obviously seeing, and even Google, you're seeing things that are personalized to you. You're seeing things that these websites think you want to see. So if you're into conspiracy theories, if you're into, you know, if you think the earth is flat, if you think vaccines are, you know, are terrible, if you think that COVID is a hoax, if you think any of these things and you're avidly watching these platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, these platforms will promote more of that stuff to you. Just as an example, if you guys are familiar with Alex Jones, he's now been banned on many platforms, but he actually there was a study done, and his channel was promoted over 15 billion times by algorithms from YouTube. And that is more views or more promotions than all the major news networks combined, right? So you can see how that's obviously a problem. You have somebody who is obviously a lunatic and wants to promote these insane conspiracy theories. And he's now been promoted over 15 billion times. That is a major problem. So the problem that they're facing right now is misinformation, because when you have algorithms that just spew back what you think people are going to want to see, you essentially are making everybody their own reality. So that's why when you try to debate somebody who's on the complete opposite side of a political spectrum, it's not just the political spectrum now. Now the problem is it literally is a different reality. You're seeing different information. So one of the struggles, or one of the big struggles that these companies are having, is what is the fine line between free speech and misinformation causing damage to democracies, right? That is the big problem. So I guess because of the uprise in anti-Semitism the recent year they mentioned in the article, because that they've now demonstrated that these posts and these communities are now causing external impact in the world, right? In this case, anti-Semitism, because it's causing real problems in the real world, they are now going to take action to officially ban any of this from their platform, which of course I agree with. And it's, I mean, the big problem is, what is the fine line between free speech and misinformation being harmful, right? What is the fine line there? And there's also been issues where people have seen, especially with Twitter, decisions for banning or suspending accounts that seem to fall always on right-wing right-wing figures, right? So that's been a problem that's been raised, and there was a whole episode on Joe Rogan's podcast with Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, discussing this. And so there's major problems on both sides, right? There's a problem with not doing anything about it, because then you you get these crazy conspiracy theories and you're promoting this to people who now believe these conspiracy theories. But on the other side, the more you start censoring stuff, then it really becomes a question of what are you banning for reasons that may be political or whatnot. So it's a really, really tricky thing here. But I think at least I think that what this points out is if we can demonstrate that posts or communities or whatever is being promoted on these platforms, if we can prove that this is causing, real external problems for people in the real world, if we can demonstrate that, then I think that is cause for intervening and censoring some of this stuff. So it's a very interesting problem. I'm sure I will discuss this again on this podcast. I'm hoping more positive stories will come out like this, where you have these crazy harmful ideas about, in this case, Holocaust denial, that are causing real world problems. And so I'm really hoping that these companies figure out some way to moderate this that kind of balances out both sides of the equation, which I just mentioned. I really hope the more stories come out like this, and I'm happy that they finally did it. I mean, I don't know how good it is now that the information's already out there, but yeah, so that is the first positive news story of the week. The second is coming from IKEA, actually. So this is an interesting way for them to go about their proactivity for climate change. So IKEA is now starting a new program starting next month, and they will now buy your old furniture and then resell it. So I think for new items, they're going to give people 50% of the original price, and it goes all the way down to 30% depending on how banged up it is. So they're doing it for two reasons. One, that the market is fairly big for reused items. In recent years, we've seen a growth in thrifting and in old antiques and things like that. So that's one of the reasons they're doing it. But then the other reason is this plays into a new climate plan for IKEA. So they will now be reselling old furniture as opposed to just mass producing just new furniture. So it allows people to, also in a way recycle. If you have old furniture, instead of throwing it out, you can give it back to IKEA and get some money for it. And any items that are not resold or can't be resold, IKEA will recycle them for you. So this is their new plan to tackle climate change. And this is also their new plan to expand into a new business. So it's very interesting. I think they're going to do well with this. I mean, they've said because of COVID in the last 6 months, demand for a lot of household items, especially furniture, has increased tremendously because people are obviously at home and they want to redecorate and things like that. So, they're expanding their business in an interesting way, and their consumers can now maybe make some money off of IKEA as opposed to just spending it. So that's a new story coming out of IKEA. I believe it's rolling out worldwide, but they've done some tests, I think, in Scotland to see how it would work, and it's turned out to be successful. So I think they're rolling out worldwide, but it will take some time. And now for the last story, and this actually is interesting because the 2 weeks ago, the episode I did talked about a new headset that allowed people who are blind to see. And this is actually another story about people who are blind, although it is a little bit different. So there has now been a gene therapy success in Canada, which is where I live. It's not for people. This gene replacement therapy is not for people who are completely blind. It's actually for a specific disorder called retinitis pigmentosa, and it's essentially a retinal degeneration issue, and it's caused by a mutation of the gene. So they've now come out with this new drug called Luxtuma, I believe it's called, and what it essentially does is it places a copy of the healthy gene into an inactivated viruses, which are then injected back into the retina. So this then allows these new cells to produce proteins that convert the light into electrical signal. Now, what this actual disorder is it doesn't allow them allow people who have it to see things clearly. So it has a problem converting light. So essentially, if you're in the dark, you can't see absolutely anything. So it's really hard for them even to see a cloudy sky. So it's like, it's not that they can't see fully, but they can't make out specific shapes. But now with this gene therapy, which has now been successful with this boy, he can now actually see a lot better. And he said he could actually see stars for the first time. So, I mean, yeah, gene replacement therapy is very interesting. And I think we're going to see a lot more of it in the coming years. And even the more scary, gene editing, which that's going to cause a whole lot of ethical issues. So yeah, this is interesting. And I think what's interesting about this is the solution I talked about 2 weeks ago with the headset that allowed people to see again. Obviously, the downside to it is that you have to have a headset and also a receiver to translate the signals and everything like that. Whereas this is just a one-time pill that you take, which is actually a problem though, because it will now be very expensive. It might even be the most expensive in Canada. So that is not the positive news, but the positive news is that there is a new drug now that is helping people who have struggle with converting light into visible objects. So this is a new gene therapy success, and I'm really curious to see how this is going to push the envelope further with more gene therapies that could help people with disabilities. So yeah, those are the three main stories of the week. And like I did the last episode, I'm going to now talk about some just kind of lighthearted stories, and hopefully you enjoy that. So I am subscribed to Time Magazine, and they had a really interesting little section in the wildlife section about parrots. And so the story is actually not new. The story is from 2008, but I thought it was a wonderful story that I thought I'd just mention. So in 2008, there was this lost African gray parrot, and he went missing in Tokyo. And what happened was when the veterinarians found him, he provided his full address and then sang songs to the hospital staff who cared for him. So I thought this was really fascinating. I mean, parrots are, there's even arguments that parrots are conscious. Sorry, not conscious. They are aware of their being, which would mimic humans. But yeah, parrots are fascinating, and they actually had more to talk about with these same types of parrots. So I thought that was a really interesting story. They also had another story about parrots who, there was a work therapy program, and it began in Los Angeles in 2005. And what it was designed to do was bring U.S. veterans and abandoned parrots together. And it actually proved to be very healing for both people and pets who struggle with PTSD. So yeah, parrots are fascinating birds. They can talk, they can sing. Well, I guess all birds can sing, but they can talk. So yeah, I thought that was a pretty nice story. And for the last one, the last little nugget of positive news for the week, there was a college student who, while being bored with school online during COVID, he actually dove into the ocean to pick up trash across the coastline, and he actually covered 20,000 square meters of coastline when he did this. So he just dove down there, picked up some trash, helped out the marine wildlife, and yeah, I thought it was a nice story from a 20-year-old college kid. So fascinating stuff, and hope to see more like it. So anyways, if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe, let me know what you thought about it on social media. And I'll catch you here next Monday. Take care.